Well, before I get started, I actually wanted to say something else, read something else, which was in reference to our worship team. It's right, I'm not asking you to come back up, don't panic. But every week I stand and worship as these guys lead us, and I'm sure you gather with us as well. You know, you guys carry so much on a Sunday morning, and so much of our other teams we serve on a Sunday morning, but you guys also have to practice during the week as well, because I'm guessing you don't just get up and are as awesome as you are. And Psalm 134 says this, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord." So this applies to everyone, but I really felt this for our team this morning, "who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth." And we're just so grateful for you guys, for all that you do on a Sunday morning to lead us, but all that you do in preparation. This is the whole worship team, to Zach and Hannah and Bex and Nick and Sid and whoever else is on the team. But Bex and Nick, they carry our worship team and coordinate them all together and make sure they all sound lovely. And we're just so grateful for you guys. And may the Lord bless you as you lead us in worship. So thank you so much. But, oh! Well, good morning! Jeremiah's my name. I'm not Sarah either, in case that popped up on the screen. But it is my joy that I get to hang out here on a Sunday morning. And my wife and I, Sarah, as many of you know, because you're part of our church family, we're part of the team who launched here nearly 3 years ago. Can you believe it was that long ago? Some of you are going, it feels like much longer. But we're so grateful that you've gathered with us, that you've come, whether it's your first time this morning, or you've been with us this whole journey, or you were here for the 50 years previous. We're so grateful that you've joined us in worship this morning. Well, last week I spoke a message about finding places to be still, to sit in silence, to come and rest in the presence of God. In the busyness and chaos of life and all of the distractions that come along our way, to find moments to still our hearts and simply listen to God, to the whisper of God. And at the end of our service last week, we took 5 minutes to actually just sit in silence. We didn't have the worship team playing, and we didn't have you reading something else, just to sit and listen and wait on God. And we're going to do that again this morning. So if you panicked about it last week, here's your heads up. At the end of my message this morning, we'll have 5 minutes just again to sit in silence and wait on God. To create space to draw away in the busyness of life, to simply be, to quiet our doing and draw away with Jesus. You may remember last week I spoke from a passage in 1 Kings about Elijah. And when God spoke to him in the beginning of this passage and said, "Would you come with me? Would you go out and stand on the mountain? Because the presence of the Lord is about to come by." And so then we find out the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And it says Elijah heard it. Then came a gentle whisper. Wind, earthquake, fire, all these elements causing so much chaos around him. And then there was a gentle whisper. Simply look around the world around us, to the news, to your friends sitting opposite you at the coffee table or around your dinner table. Look on your social media feeds, and I don't know about you, but I see a whole lot of just stuff going on in the world. Powerful winds that are shattering things that we once were solid, thought were solid like rocks. Earthquakes and wars that are tearing apart nations and pitting one people against another, wildfires destroying homes and livelihoods. And I wonder if you've ever looked at all of it, all of the sound, all of the things going on and gone, where is God? Where is his presence? What are you doing, Lord? What are you saying? But the Lord was not in the fire, the earthquake or the wind. But then there came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard the whisper, he ran to the entrance of the cave he was hiding in. And God had displayed his full power, his full authority over all creation, all the elements of life, great winds and powerful earthquakes from the foundations of the earth and the fire, and all were obedient to God. He was in full control the whole time. God may allow things to happen in our lives, may allow nature to take their natural processes and things along and that happen in this earth to happen to us and around us. But he is still God. And in the midst of all that is going on, he whispers. What caught my attention this time, though, when I read this, at the beginning of this passage, the Lord said to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain." So the Lord was already talking to him, and yet later on we find a bit where he whispers to him. And the chaos happened after the Lord had spoken to him and told him to go out. He noticed all that was going on. He noticed the brokenness of the world he was living in. As God brought the wind and the earthquake and the fire, he demonstrated his full power over all of it. And when all of it seemed the loudest, God whispered. Doesn't that just show the authority of God? Nothing surprises him. Nothing shocks him. Nothing's too powerful for him. Nothing's outside of his control. When the noise of life could feel so overwhelming, when to us, in our perspective, if there was an earthquake and a rushing wind and a fire, I might yell out, call out to try and get someone's attention. Hey, look what's going on. In my perspective, I would need to be loud, but God whispers. In the midst of the world seeming to fall apart, when everything that could naturally go wrong went wrong, the Lord whispered. And when Elijah heard it, he responded. He obeyed and he did as he had heard. Because when God speaks, when you know that it is God, obedience to him becomes obvious. It's so easy to be obedient to God when the command feels easy. When life's going well and you're not facing any major obstacles or struggles in life, Lord, I'm available. Send me, I'll go. Use me, speak to me, call me, I'll follow your call. And then it gets uncomfortable. And then it gets a bit inconvenient. And then we notice the cost, the things we'll miss out on, the people or places we'll miss seeing along the way. Disappointment happens, someone passes away unexpectedly, a diagnosis out of the blue, tragedy or frustration can happen. And if it's not a word from God, when it's our own thinking, when it's our own decisions, we can justify our way out of it. When it's our own desires, we simply change direction, simply change our opinion. Oh, well, that was just me. I'll go this way now. But when we hear the word of God, when we know that it is God, when that whisper cuts through the chaos, obedience becomes our obvious direction. Because we know the God who speaks. We know the God who loves, who is the great I am. He's the God of creation, the God of protection, the God of angels' armies, the God of mercy, the one of grace, the God who sent his one and only beloved Son to be born as a human, experience the brokenness of this world, but who himself, being in very nature God, lived a life of holiness, a life free of sin, of total obedience to God. And that following God led him to the cross. Led Jesus to be punished, beaten and mocked by the world, abandoned by his friends and taking all the sin of the world upon himself, my sin, your sin, the sin of all people, taking it on himself. He was broken for our transgressions, pierced for our iniquities, and as he was hung on the cross, he died. It's Jesus who went to the grave for us. On the Saturday of Easter, in the silence of the tomb, we remember, we consider, we're grateful for the saving work of Jesus on the cross. That in his death, he took the punishment for our sin, so that we don't have to. Romans 6:23, the Bible says that the wages of sin, the cost of sin, is death. But the gift of God, the very gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why he died, so that we don't have to. Yes, one day we will pass away in this world and our bodies will pass, but our spirit has eternal life in Christ. This is the God who rose Christ from the dead. Same breath of God that created, healed, and spoke. The God in whom we trust and in whom we listen. It's the God who can raise to life again. The God who will fight for us. We need only to be still. This is the God whose voice we listen to. And all that life is going on around us, through the winds, the earthquakes, the fire, the God who whispers. Stillness, I think, is a posture that we have towards God. It's a readiness to hear what he is doing, to see where he is moving, to recognize his voice and respond regardless of the circumstances of life around us. Stillness allows us to quiet our minds and again focus on the things of God. Lift our eyes from the temporary and the immediate and seek again God's perspective for our journey in this life ahead of us. To seek his plans for our life. To seek the plans that he has laid out before us, for us. It's when life feels so overwhelming, too big, decisions, stress, or simple busyness and distractions of life that distract us from quality time in his presence. Stillness draws us back to him. A chance again to put Christ at the center of our lives, to give him our full attention. Stillness is not inactive. It's an active positioning of our hearts to God. It's turning our hearts to hear what God is doing and saying. It might not be in silence when you still your heart. You can still your heart in a car drive to work, or a late night as you're stood doing dishes once everyone else has gone to bed. Maybe in the shower, or a couple of moments before when you first go to bed, or when you get up in the morning. You can still your heart in a time of worship, gathered with a whole crowd of people. You can still your heart in silence sitting on the beach. Psalm 46, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Know that I am God. I am the one in control. I am God. This is God of creation, that same God who sent Jesus to earth. He is the one inviting us to be still. This is God inviting us to set aside the worries of tomorrow, the disappointments of today, the prideful thoughts or the distractions of planning, and instead to rest in the knowledge of who he is. Ask him to show you more and to dwell in his presence. Psalm 37 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." The NLT puts it this way, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act." Because his timing is not always our timing. Wait patiently. His timing is perfect. He knows the right moments. He knows your seasons. He knows the desires of your heart. He has not forgotten you. A few years ago, I was outwardly living my best life, as you could say. My family was great. Work and church was going awesome and in a healthy place. Friends were the best I've ever had. But inwardly, I felt a hole beginning to swallow me up. Something I couldn't quite articulate to anyone, but had been trying to process with God. Or should I say that I was telling God about it, and not doing a whole lot of listening to what he was saying. I'd been in Christchurch for nearly 10 years longer than what I'd planned, longer than what I'd allowed for in my heart to come to terms with. I still felt far from people. Relationships were not what I had dreamed of or thought they could be, and I missed my homeland and my people. But I had a call from God, a call to this city. a call to our people and our families. Many of you will know the story, or at least parts of it. But when my plans had fallen apart in 2013, I sought God, and He had so strongly called me to the city. So obvious it was that I'd actually argued with God, asking Him questions finally until I could come to the point where I said, yes, I'll stay. Because when God speaks, when you know Him as Savior, obedience to His call is the obvious choice. But it had been years since this call. And it had been good. But something in my heart still longed for elsewhere, and left a consuming hole in my life that I'd not told anyone about. I was walking a life of aching alone. And so one day, I was stood at our commission course. And it was about the fourth time I'd done the course, and we were about to go into a final set of worship. And all of a sudden, I just realized that I wasn't responsible for anything. I wasn't responsible for worrying about who was getting up to close the meeting. I wasn't worried about who was going to get morning tea ready or afternoon tea or whatever it was after the next meeting and prepare that so it's ready. And so I stilled my heart. In a room full of people, I lifted my attention heavenward. And as everyone sang, I joined the chorus just simply in silence. And He spoke, a soft voice, and He said to me, "You are not forgotten. I sent you." It broke me. I wept. I could barely stand. Some people rushed to me to see if I was okay, and I signaled that I was. But when God spoke, I had language to express my aching heart. When God spoke, clarity came to an isolating feeling. When God spoke, a fresh passion for the call those many years ago awakened again inside me. When God spoke, I was so upset that the call on my life had not been released by God, but that He was reminding me of His call, that I was not forgotten, that I was sent by God. When God speaks, obedience to His call is the only path that I would ever choose to follow. And it's the one I would choose again and again. Despite the pain or the cost, obedience to His call, despite the things you might miss out on, when you still your heart and allow God to speak, allow the Spirit to whisper, God is in control. He is worthy of our trust, and I will follow Him all the days of my life, and I would choose Him again and again to follow His call every day. But it's in the quiet moments, when we lift our attention heavenward, remain in silence and allow God to speak. Ecclesiastes talks about so many different seasons in life. A time to be silent and a time to speak, it says in 3 verse 7. Season for this and for that, for planting and reaping, for weeping and laughing and mourning and dancing and seasons. There is a time in life for all of it. So creating moments, finding times to sit in silence, to still our hearts and allow God to speak, to strip away the distractions and let Him call you, guide you, correct you, challenge you. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Allow God to lead you. Allow Him to speak, to refresh your soul. Offer your heart and simply obey. Follow Jesus. Spend time with Him. Spend time in His Word. Don't overcomplicate it or wait for some great call from God. Love God and love people. I wonder if there is anyone in this room or people, I've been like this at points in my life when I've been waiting for a blinding light like Saul on the road to Damascus, to stop us in our track, to blind us, to turn our lives completely the other direction, to spend years studying the Word before going out across the world to spread the gospel and the good news. Are you waiting for a blinding light, to be swallowed by a whale, a burning bush that won't burn out? What are you waiting for? Let's not overcomplicate it. Jesus said, "Follow me." That's His first call to you. And his commission to us is to take the good news of salvation to all people. Jesus tells us the greatest commandment is to love God with all that you are and all that you have. And the second is like it, to love people. Love everyone around you. I think we so often assume that obedience to God will mean that we need to lay down our lives on the mission field of Thailand or Mozambique or South Sudan alongside some of our mission partners. Or obedience to God will mean that we have to spend 3 hours a day reading our Bible, followed by 2 hours of prayer, and then walking the streets evangelizing, telling people about Jesus, and seeing them healed. And maybe that is what God is calling you to do. Maybe God is calling you to spend more time in his word. Maybe he is calling you to go to the nations. And if that is God calling you, please respond to that and be obedient in that mission field. But we need people who are willing to lay themselves down in the mission field of unreached and least reached people groups around the world. We need people to be prayer warriors. We need people to really read and understand and study the Bible. But we also need people who will serve young kids in schools, people who will serve as great employees and employers who exemplify the grace and mercy of Christ in their workplace. We need people who will speak truth. We need people to preach. We need people to pray for others. We need people to lay down their lives on the mission field of their families, of your workplace, of your social sports team. The calling is to follow Jesus. It's not just a mission field to a foreign nation. It's here on our doorstep, in the living room of your home. You are living, wherever you are, right now, on a mission field. Where's God calling you? But more than all the doing, more than all the saying, we need people who will follow Christ, who are willing to lay down their own desires for the cause of the cross. In a minute, we're going to spend just 5 minutes in silence. As you've taken time out of the busyness of life together with us to worship and to hear the word, more than anything, our prayer is that you would hear God. You would meet Jesus. You would hear the whisper of God. To hear his call, to hear his encouragement, to hear his challenge or his correction, and then to be obedient to it. In silence, as I said last week, so many other thoughts will come and cross your mind. So many doubts or what's happening here or what are we going to do next will try and come and distract you. But keep reminding your spirit to say, no, I'm listening to God. God, speak to me. Surrender everything to him. Ask him to make obedience obvious. As I was considering this time of silence, a song came to my mind, and I encourage you to maybe say one of the lines of it as you sit in silence, just as a starting point, and then allow God to speak. It's quite a modern song and was written in 1896. It says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I considered singing it, but I won't do that to you. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Saviour. I surrender all. Let's sit for a moment and consider him.